Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is our weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. The studio cam is on. We're in the chat room live, and we even have a phone number posted in the chat room in the upper right-hand corner there that you can call in. When the time is appropriate, if you have any questions, comments, or want to be part of the conversation. Let's jump right to our scripture reference for the day. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And that's Revelation chapter 20, a few verses from there. And I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. Thank you for showing up. Got a few more people in the chat room. I'm glad to see our chat room audience has grown a little bit, and hopefully we got a number of people watching on YouTube and listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thank you all for coming. Well, we do have a prophecy news this morning, or at least most people would think that it's somewhat prophetic, and that is that Donald Trump, announced this morning what he promised to do during his campaign. Knew he would do it sooner or later. He tends to be one of the few politicians, not really being a politician, that is keeping his word, as difficult as it may be. And believe me, this is a difficult one because everyone seems to be against him. I have a WW sent me an article here, and this is from Reuters.com. Let me put that on the screen here so you can all see it. And scroll down here. EU warns Trump against recognizing Jerusalem as Israeli capital. Okay. Brussels. European Union top diplomat Federica Mogherini said on Tuesday that any action that would undermine peace efforts to create two separate states for the Israelis and the Palestinians must absolutely be avoided. Well, I got a comment right there. They want to create two separate states for the Israelis and the Palestinians, but the fact is on the ground, there's only one state there. And there is a whole bunch of Palestinians that represent, of course, Islam in the nation of Israel, basically. And they want equal footing. And they do hold the Temple Mount under the Islamic Waqf. And so we'll see what happens there. But this is about moving the embassy. Now, in the 1990s, I believe the late 1990s, Congress passed a bill instructing the government to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv, that's it, to Jerusalem. And every 6 months, there was a rider or something or a provision in there that it would be done within 6 months unless the president signed a waiver putting it off for 6 more months. And every president to this date, so we got, you know, over 20 years of presidents signing this waiver every 6 months until now. Donald Trump seems intent on keeping his campaign promise to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Anyway, back to the article here. Let's see what what they have to say about that. Mogherini was speaking alongside U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on a visit to Brussels. And as President Donald Trump is considering recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Of course, this article must have been written yesterday or the day before because they do reference today as the day that Donald Trump, Wednesday, is making his announcement to do that. So he has made the announcement. A way must be found through negotiations to resolve the status of Jerusalem as the future capital of both states, Mogherini said, stressing, and there are no both states. There's only one state there. There's one potential, hopeful, wishful, wannabe state, and that would be a Palestinian state, but it doesn't exist. These are Palestinian people, so-called, living in the nation of Israel today. She said, the EU's 28 foreign ministers will jointly discuss the matter with Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Brussels next Monday, to be followed by a similar meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas early next year. Early next year. Okay, so we're there to talk to Abbas till early next year. That's it. That's pretty much it. I got a little video here. It's just a couple minutes. And so maybe I'll put that on and you can listen to that. Get rid of this here. And it's just a few minutes, then I'll close the page.
Donald Trump set to brush off an outcry across the Middle East when he announces the U.S. will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel on Wednesday. Senior U.S. officials tell Reuters Trump will make a landmark speech to confirm his decision and set in motion plans to relocate the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv. It's a move that upends decades of American foreign policy, which left Jerusalem's status up to Israel and the Palestinians. Trump had spoken to several Middle East leaders by phone on Tuesday, including Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Saudi Arabia's King Salman. They've condemned the idea and warned that Trump's decision would potentially trigger new violence in the Middle East and impede the peace process.
Okay, well, I guess that's all. Anyway, you get the idea. Everyone's against it. Well, I guess it's too late because they're going to move forward with it. The law requires it now that the six-month waiver has not been signed. It is like the law of the Medes and Persians. Once the law is set, then you cannot go back on it, okay? So, well, what does that have to do with prophecy? Maybe nothing at all. Yeah, maybe nothing at all. But everyone looks to the Mideast as a hot-button issue for prophetic events. Now, for me, it doesn't mean anything at all, except that we're one step closer to exposing the fallacy of futurism. Because if Jerusalem gets recognized as the capital of Israel, at least by the USA, which is prominent in the world, it seems that others will follow once we get through the initial period and people realize the world is not going to end. Other nations may follow and recognize Israel's capital to be Jerusalem also. I don't know. It's going to change the face of Jerusalem. And we'll see. Right now, it's kind of like the religious capital of the world. And so there's a lot going on there, especially with the Temple Mount. The next step, of course, which they seem to be chomping at the bit to do, is to start building a temple or some type, temple-type structure on the Temple Mount for the Judaism religion. I don't believe that they will ever get to the point where they can actually do a sacrifice in a temple. That's one thing that will unlikely ever happen on the Temple Mount. That is a blood animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount itself. But we'll see about all of that. But once they start building this temple, futurism will be exposed for the fallacy it is, because no one will be raptured. However, because they have three rapture options, the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and the post-trib, well, a lot of people say, well, the most popular belief being, of course, the most comfortable one, and that is the pre-trib position. And when that doesn't happen, of course, they'll just say, well, it must be mid-trib, and they'll come up with all of the arguments that it must be mid-trib, because the tribulation and rapture will happen at the midpoint, because that's when the Antichrist will be exposed and all the bad stuff will happen, and on it goes. But that one will fail also. None of the three rapture choices will happen. by the end of the seven-year tribulation deception. That's what I call it, seven-year tribulation deception. Our historicist belief and throughout the ages has been that Daniel's 70th week was completely fulfilled right after the 69th week, that there is no gap in the scripture. So we're waiting for that. That's, to me, that's the only significance of what's happening right now. We await the fallout. So, you know, it's going to take time for the ball to get rolling, them to acquire the property, but I'm sure that Israel, they probably already selected the location. Probably a lot of the decisions have already been made. Israel wants it badly as a nation. They want Jerusalem to be their capital. And once the U.S. Embassy is moved to Jerusalem, well, then other capital type improvements will begin. You'll see. Any comments or questions? Anyone like to call in and talk about that? We could use this entire first segment for that. If not, we'll move on to something else. Let's see. Naughty Pines apparently has a question. Is Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital fulfilling any prophecies? And there's no direct fulfillment of any prophecy that I can see right now. Some people would say, especially the futurists, might say, yeah, but I don't see any direct fulfillment of prophecy. Like I said, the only importance that it has for me is that we are getting closer to exposing futurism as the fallacy that it is. If it's, and I believe it's getting us one step closer to some kind of agreement or takeover of the Temple Mount, which Jerusalem, which Israel wants to do. They've got, have a lot in place to make the building of the temple happen, as well as the, as far as all decisions have already been made, where the new embassy is going to be and so forth, and all that stuff will be forthcoming probably fairly quickly as a result of Donald Trump's announcement. Of course, they've been planning this ever since he was elected president. Okay, he did sign the waiver once, but the second time came up and the waiver is not signed. So there you go. Any other questions? I guess not. Everybody's just going to see what, like me, you're going to see what happens. So anyway, I think we're going to move on. We spent the last 5 weeks talking about the alien invasion that is coming to planet Earth, and that's where Christ and his army appears in the clouds, and those that died in Christ, the elect of God. And see, not only those who died in the church, but those who died in Israel, because their faith was also in the Messiah that would redeem them. And even Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, their great high priest stood before them and gave them the prophecy of the seed of the woman. And you can rest assured that the resurrection, the restoration of the life they lost in the fall, was part of the sermon that was preached to them and given an explanation. And we know that Israel held a belief, national Israel, up to the time that Christ and their desolation as a nation for the last two centuries took place, until just recently we have an Israel nation again. But it's not the same nation, and it's not in the same status as it was before that, before the 70 weeks ended. When the 70 weeks ended, right after the 69 weeks, the 70th week, we know that Jesus is the he of Daniel's 70th week prophecy, that he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week, and that the rest of the week, the ministry of Jesus was filled out in the rest of the week, of course, briefly by him as he appeared after his, you know, sacrifice on the cross. He appeared and to his disciples and a few other people there briefly, giving them instructions, whatever he was going to do, and he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost came, they received the Holy Spirit. So Christ now ministers through his disciples for the final half of the remainder of the 70th week. It is Christ's ministry continued through his disciples as he ministers today through his disciples, being us and his elect throughout the last 2,000 years. Christ has ruled and reigned on the earth as the scripture said he would, but not literally and not physically, and certainly not in the governments of men, since we see that the governments of the men have a propensity in time to apostatize and turn on the people of God and martyr them and persecute them. And we see this played over and over. Now, my reference for the day, my scriptural reference from chapter 20 of the Revelation was about there's an angel that comes down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lays hold on the dragon. Now, when you see the dragon, like there's a prophecy about the three frog-like spirits, one that comes out of the mouth of the dragon. Well, here the dragon is identified. And that is that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And the dragon also gives the beast their power. That's why they always apostatize and turn on the people of God eventually, as they grow in power and become more and more corrupt. No matter how good a government of man might start out, it always ends up the same in apostasy and pushing apostasy and changing the law of good, calling good evil and evil good. That's what that means, to call evil good and good evil. And then people worship that new law because they want to practice evil. So they worship the beast. And that's what the beast is. And the serpent or the dragon gives the beast, all of the beasts of the earth, their power. We even see that in national Israel when they apostatized and said, we want a king like the other nations. Well, you know, of course, the Almighty acquiesced because he's not going to force anyone to have him as their king. And there has to be a free will there of some sort for the people that they can choose their own ruler. But, you know, that's part of the trial of this life, is what you choose, you know, is your testimony about who you are and whether you are one of God's elect or not. So make sure you choose wisely. Choose the King of Kings as your king. So anyway, that old serpent, the devil, put this on the screen here, and you can see it for yourself, is bound 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit, the angel did, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Oh, well, there's a can of worms for you. My belief is that the 1,000-year reign is literal. Now, why do I believe that? That Christ will actually literally and physically return to the earth and rule and reign from Jerusalem over the earth for 1,000 years. Why do I believe that? Well, there's several reasons I believe that. One, Satan will be bound. Two, history teaches me that Satan is loosed right now. And until Satan is bound, the nations will always apostatize. And Christ cannot rule, or man cannot rule vicariously for Christ. That's what the papacy does. Because even if man rules vicariously for God or Almighty, for the Heavenly Father on earth, they will apostatize, as Israel did when the Almighty was their king, and he gave them a government of for and by the people, you know, the government of judges of rulers of 10 families and so on, and 50 families, and on and on it went through the tribes. So they had representatives of the tribes ruling, and finally it went up to the judge of the nation, who was like our Supreme Court today, who would make any decisions that could not be made under the lower governments of the for and by the people of that government that the Heavenly Father gave the nation Israel in the wilderness. Well, eventually, like I said, they apostatized and said, we want a king like the other nations. And God said, okay, well, here's the guy you're asking for. I give you Saul. And even the best of men make mistakes, and they can't control everyone around them. So apostatization of the government, even under the best of leaders, takes place, and we see the result in Israel. You read the history, the Chronicles of the Kings, Chronicles, Kings 1 and 2, and on it goes, and you see that most of the kings were evil. There were a few good kings, and they could have a little effect in the nation Israel. And so the end result was a major apostasy of the nation, majority apostasy of the nation, leading to the Babylonian desolation and judgment from God. And then God reestablished them to keep the promises that he made of the seed of the woman coming through the faithful line, the seed of Israel, the seed of David. Okay, so Christ was raised up. Once his promise to Israel was completed, because all of the promises to Israel are fulfilled in Christ. And those promises to Israel also include all of those from the other nations that were before that time grafted in, of course, and became part of Israel. And all of those after that time, including us to this very day, who are grafted into the same root, tree, and branches of God's Israel on earth. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Go not anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, and I'm Nicholas, your host. We opened the program talking a little bit about the news of the day, and that is that Donald Trump, the president of the U.S., has announced that they are going to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. So if you missed that, like WW did, well, we do have a thing called podcasts and rebroadcasts of this show that will be that you will be able to catch up on that. And I use the article, I guess, that WW put in the chat room earlier from Reuters there. Had to swim to that one, but that was it. Right now, the main emphasis of our program today is in defense of a pre-millennial return of Christ. And so we've been talking about that, how all nations apostatize. Now, I have a book here. It's called History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. And this is by E.B. Elliott. We are the only ones that publish this book. And I'll tell you where I found this book. I found this book in the appendix of the Hori Apocalypticae. It's 250 pages of a 10-type print. As you can see, the pages are filled pretty good. So I had to really get it down there and squeeze it in. But it's a very good book. Why he hid it in the appendix of the Hori Apocalypticae. Anyway, I freed it from that, and that's available and, you know, worldwide publishing, History of Apocalyptic Interpretation by E.B. Elliott. We're the only ones that print it, Across the Border Publishing. Anyway, but what we learned from History of Apocalyptic Interpretation is E.B. Elliott takes us on a trek through history of every church author, every major church author that had any scholarship value at all, even a little, and he tells you what they wrote about the apocalyptic, how they interpreted the revelation throughout history. And so it starts out very early. And I also know from editing and republishing the Hori Apocalypticae, which I'm doing a final edition, and I'm going through it one more time with a fine-tooth comb by myself, and which means I have to read it all again. And you can follow me as I go through that, and let me show you how you can do that. If you I'm posting it on a website as I get it done, so it's free for everyone. And I have, you know, I and others actually really have thousands of hours invested into this work, if not tens of thousands of hours. Been working on it since 2000 and 13 or 14, somewhere around there. So it's been a long-term project. I haven't been working on it all that time, but I've just come back to it and decided I got to finish this because I want to get it published in a nice hardback cover edition for people, you know, a scholarly like publication for people who have want this in their library and want a very good copy of it, one that has been thoroughly edited. So I'm working on that final edition. And like I said, if you go to horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com, there you go, just for my listeners. I wasn't going to post it until at least I got Volume 1 done, and I'm most of the way through Volume 1, and you can see the result of that work there at horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com, and read along with me. What a fantastic read. And I'm reading it again, seeing a lot more, makes a lot more sense to me every time I read it. So do check out that work there. But one thing I noted in going through edition one is that, speaking of our topic today in defense of the pre-millennial return of Christ, that is a physical and bodily return of Christ to actually return physically and bodily to earth and to establish his government in the Mideast in Jerusalem there and make that the capital of the world, as in compliance with Daniel chapter 2, you know, where the rock formed without hands strikes the earth, or strikes the image, I mean, and it abolishes all of the beast governments of men once and for all. And that's what we're talking about, the alien invasion that's coming, where Christ comes and all of his saints with him, all of the elect, all of the remnant of God from all time come with him and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That is all that, and that concludes that. That is it. That is the culmination, I should say, of all of the promises to Israel and the church, because Israel was the church. Paul even said the church in the wilderness, to show us that it is the church of God from Adam and Eve through Israel, through faithful Noah, who was a grandfather of Israel. Israel didn't even exist yet. Abraham, another grandfather of Israel. But the true Israel of God has been from the beginning and will be to the end of all of those who by faith become the seed of Christ. And that is it. That is it. All of the promises of God are fulfilled. So anyway, learning that around the overthrow of pagan Rome, about the overthrow of pagan Rome, Christians were being persecuted, hiding in caves and dens, hiding their worship in the caves and the dens in the Roman Empire because of the great persecution that was upon the Christian church in the pagan Roman Empire until Constantine. Well, of course, Constantine conquered all of the pagan Romans, the pagan Roman emperors, and he conquered in this sign, the sign of the cross, and that cross was emblazoned on their shields and their banners. And when he conquered and he established his rule and reign in the Roman Empire, well, he outlawed paganism and he raised up Christianity. Now, you know, I kind of see a parallel there between, say, someone like Donald Trump and Constantine. Neither of these men were perfect, and they still even walked in error, and, you know, because we examine their lives to this day, and we see that they followed error and all the paganism that crept into the corporate church. And what do we learn? Many of the Christians at that time, when they were finally, the Christians came out of the rocks and the dens and the caves and the catacombs, and their worship was established on the corner of Main Street, and their religion became the religion of the empire. They thought, mistakenly, of course, that it was the prophesied millennial reign of Christ, that it was, of course, it had to be vicarious reign of Christ, because Christ was nowhere to be found. He was not bodily returning, so they interpreted the scripture mistakenly, like I said, as at the beginning of the reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. So this kind of the same idea that people say that, you know, that post-millennials or amillennials or whatever they call themselves today, who do not believe in a physical, literal, bodily return of Christ to rule and reign physically from Jerusalem on the earth with 10,000s of his saints, they still believe it's only figurative, only symbolic. But we can see that no matter how good the government of men, it will fail and apostatize. Sorry. That's the way it works. And with Satan bound up for 1,000 years, well, they say, well, that's the key. So we're waiting for Satan to be bound. But obviously that hasn't happened yet. So those are some of the reasons, besides the fact that nowhere is it expressed as symbolic. Okay, but people could take it as symbolic. There are symbols used, like in Daniel chapter 2, the Nebuchadnezzar dream interpretation, where the rock formed without hand, of course that's a symbol for Christ, strikes the earth and abolishes all of the beast governments of men, and then it becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth, way in compliance with our Revelation chapter 20. And it says that he is bound 1,000 years. Let's continue reading here. And I saw thrones, and they that sat in judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So these are the people that died and were martyred in our history as of today. Okay, they are ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. So there has to be a resurrection. So this is describing a physical thing that is going to happen. This is our hope. They are resurrected and ruling and reigning. But it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. So the only ones resurrected at the before 1,000 years, okay? And if this is symbolic and figurative, why is there a separation here of resurrections? That doesn't make any sense. And why is it only these? But the rest of the dead, those who were not the elect, the remnant, the chosen of God, starting with Adam and Eve all the way until us today and to the very day that Christ returns, whoever joins the camp of the faithful, the elect, the true Israel of God, even in old Israel, national Israel, in flesh and blood Israel, there was the true and there was the nominal. In the church, there's the true and there's the nominal. That means the name only. This is what is represented by, I believe, the outer court scene, and most historicists, even reformed historicists, would believe that. So why are there are these two resurrections? One before the symbolic 1,000 years? I don't think so. Okay. And it says, and the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. It says this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Now, that's where I want to be. That first resurrection before the millennial reign of Christ. And that's another indication to me that this millennial reign of Christ is bodily and physical, that Christ will literally, bodily, physically return to the earth. And when he returns, those of us who are alive and remain, and that's a minority. And that's why this event is not my focus. What the futurists call the rapture. See, they call that the rapture because all of their focus is on this rapture event. Well, for the majority of the church throughout history, time immemorial, they never heard of the rapture. As a matter of fact, the term was not used to describe the resurrection until the pre-tribulation rapture was invented about you know, what, 115, 20 years ago when that term was invented as a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, all these ideas, you can find the seeds, the germination of them throughout history, and that people like Rivera, that Jesuit priest who came up and invented the end-time Antichrist scenario, upon which all of these others came along and built upon this foundation, you can find the germination in the seed of all of these, the little pieces of this false prophecy throughout history. Z.B. Elliott doesn't pull any punches. He shows you, you know, all of the germination of a lot of these things that you can read about in the history of apocalyptic interpretation. And you can see, well, they borrowed a little here, there, the whole idea of juxtaposing the 70th week of Daniel. And you see little seeds and sprinkles of that here and there, but it was never accepted, never really had any place to go with it until the pre-tribulation rapture about 1830 was invented and placed as a brick in the wall of false prophecy upon this foundation laid by the Jesuit Rivera. And of course, this foundation laid by Jesuit Rivera of an end-time Antichrist scenario and his positioning of the 70th week of Daniel to give that a place in Scripture to be placed, many, many have come along and since added brick and untempered mortar to the building of this wall of false prophecy. Well, it's going to come crashing down. That's why I'm watching the Mideast, not because I'm thinking there's a rapture going to happen, because I know that when they begin their seven-year tribulation deception and no rapture takes place, I know that the entire 7 years is going to pass, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years is going to pass, and nobody's going to be raptured, and the Antichrist is going to become the true Antichrist, the true biblical and historical Antichrist, is going to take his prominent position thereby, because they will have been proved to have the right position all along, and that is that Christ will not. See, now all of those reformed historicists who don't believe in the bodily, physical return of Christ, well, they actually agree with the Antichrist. Sorry to say that, but I think the official reformed church position is now that Christ will not return bodily and physically and rule and reign for the millennium upon the earth. Yeah. I'll research into that a little bit, and you know, they don't agree with that. They don't think that's going to happen, but they do agree with the Antichrist because that's the Antichrist position. You go, well, how can that be the Antichrist position? Didn't the Jesuit Rivera teach us about that the Antichrist would appear for a brief 7 year period immediately preceding the return of Christ? Well, I don't know where Rivera placed that. Did Rivera place that before a literal, physical, pre-millennial return of Christ? Or a post-millennial return of Christ? An amillennial position or post-millennial position? Well, I don't know. I guess I'd have to research more back into Rivera to find out exactly, because that is the Catholic Church position. Now, Protestants turned evangelicals, forgetting all about the protest, have placed that Rivera scenario premillennial. So they say that the Antichrist will rise up and they will be raptured 7 years before Christ's return. Well, I'm reading here about these two resurrections. The first resurrection before the millennial reign of Christ, symbolic or otherwise. Well, it's kind of like if they're resurrected before and they return with Christ, how is that separate from the resurrection after the millennium? And how blessed are you if it's symbolic resurrection? Because that it would have to be a symbolic resurrection. The first resurrection would have to be symbolic if the millennial reign of Christ is symbolic only. And as I said, we've got plenty of evidence from history that no government of man, vicariously or otherwise, is going to work. Already tried that. Didn't the Pope, didn't the Roman Church reign vicariously in Christ's place for 1260 years? And they were finally judged by God, like Israel was judged twice by God? Yeah. In history, yeah, because God judged them because they apostatized, just like Israel did twice before them. No vicarious government of man is going to vicariously rule and reign through a symbolic millennial reign of Christ. History teaches us that that is not going to happen. So I guess they could say, well, it could happen if the dragon and Satan, the devil, is bound for 1,000 years. Well, wouldn't that be symbolic too? So which is, I believe that this is literal. I see nothing in the text to indicate to me that it is symbolic. So chapter 20, you know, the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain, those may be symbols. They may be literal too, I don't know, but it doesn't matter because what I believe is literal is that Satan is going to be bound for the most part of that millennial reign. It says that after that he must be loosed a little season. It says the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, speaking of what he was just talking about. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Well, if the millennial reign of Christ is symbolic, where's the blessing in it? Am I going to be physically resurrected and ruling and reigning on the earth as without Christ? And if we're going to be resurrected and rule and reign as kings and priests on the earth with Christ, without him here, well, that would be not symbolic, that would be literal. And on such the second death hath no power. Meaning that you can only die, it's appointed man to die once. We talked about this, I believe, last week. We were talking about murder. Could a mortal during the millennium murder an immortal? Well, no, you're immortal. It's appointed man to die once, and then the resurrection. Blessed and holy is he has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, not without him. See, that's vicarious would be ruling and reigning without Christ. That's what the papacy, the Roman Church, attempted to do for 1260 years, and they were punished for their apostasy, even killing the true church, the true Israel of God on earth, putting them to death for their infant faith in Christ. The same faith as the infant church, that's what I mean. So blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years, not without him. We've already seen that action. That doesn't happen. We need the physical, literal return, bodily return of Christ for that 1,000 years. And it says that when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Okay? So now, see, we finally, the revelation finally placed the Gog and Magog battle of Ezekiel. Yeah, I believe that. These are not two different battles. This is the same battle. The Gog and Magog of Ezekiel, a battle of Ezekiel, has finally been placed, was placed in time, in its place, by the revelation. And of course, that's a whole different topic. And then, after this battle, this organizing effort, we have this right now. We have the frog-like spirit that came out of the mouth of the dragon, right, going about to deceive those in the earth. That's just one-third of the frog-like spirits that are loose right now in the earth, deceiving the nations for the Armageddon battle, of course. And then this dragon spirit is going to be loosed again at the end, to organize all of those who are not elect on the earth at the end of the millennium to gather them to a Armageddon type battle, but Gog and Magog battle. Okay, we're going to go into a break here, have some news, and when we get back, we'll continue on this topic in support of or in defense of a premillennial bodily and physical return of Christ to rule and reign upon the earth with us, 10,000s of his saints.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.